up, guys? This is the AKOYA Media Podcast coming at you live. Not really. Coming at you a couple weeks.
Super late.
But we got our host, AKOYA, in the house. I'm your producer, Jules. We got a lot to talk about, so let's just jump into it, guys.
Yep, let's do it.
So, Randy Gregory got suspended last week. And just recently, David Irving first off, he was going to get suspended by the NFL no matter what anyway.
Right.
But he publicly just retired.
He said, "You can't fire me, I quit."
Yeah.
That's what he said.
So like, let's, I got
like,
a little.
Fuck you, you're cool. I'm out.
I got a little clip from that. So let's listen into that real quick.
So basically, guys, I quit. I want to talk about a suspension and all this other nonsense. I'm out of there. I'm not doing this shit no more. You know, it's a lot of reasons. Everyone questions my commitment to football. And let's get it straight. Here and now, I love football. Football is, it shaped me, you know? I wouldn't be here without it. Don't get me wrong. I love football. However, I don't love the NFL. The NFL is not football, and y'all need to understand that. What y'all see us do, the game and shit, that's like, 20% of all the real shit we go. I don't know, when you start talking about addiction, that's a sensitive subject. It's funny, you know, some people are like, oh, you're addicted to weed, you're addicted to this and that. I mean, shit, if I'm going to be addicted to something, I'd rather be marijuana, which is medical. It's a medicine. I do not consider it a drug. Rather than the Xanax bars or the Hydros or the Seroquel and all that crazy shit that they feed you, you know? So, like I said, it ain't about smoking weed. How many NBA players you see getting in trouble about this? How many coaches you see getting in trouble about this? How many baseball players getting in trouble? How many UFC players getting in trouble? How many actors, you know, how many people, it's these things, you know, people or fans or the media tries to make me seem like the bad guy for. I don't think I'm a bad guy for choosing this route. You know, I stand up for what I believe in, and it is bullshit. I mean, I'll Kaepernick myself before they Kaepernick my ass. And, you know, things gonna be all right. I appreciate all my true fans who appreciate me. Appreciate me, you know, for who I am.
So that was just the clip right there. So he apparently is quitting. You know, let's see if that actually sticks around. But what do you think about that, AKOYA?
Well, my thoughts on it is this, man. It's two-sided. At the end of the day, or at the beginning of the day, whatever way you want to look at it. I don't have a problem with weed, right? I don't have a problem with the fact that players want to medicate with weed. And I feel like the NFL is kind of behind the times when it comes to marijuana intake and so on. So I'll start by saying that. But I think that escapism is a real thing. So I feel like
definitely.
I feel like David Irving's lack of discipline. Because I'm pretty sure there's more than just David Irving and Randy Gregory smoking weed.
They're just the ones who got caught.
Right. But they don't have the discipline to be able to skate between the lines, like in the gray, I'm assuming. And, again, I'm not in the NFL, so I can only speculate here. But as far as his career is concerned, when you have enough, you have enough. Like a lot of us from the outside looking in can say, hey, you know, Dave Chappelle was crazy for going to South Africa and leaving the show. David Irving is crazy for smoking weed when he's a millionaire or on the way to being a millionaire if he so chose to stop, because he was a dominant player when he chose to be. Randy Gregory, same way. But The caveat here, though, is the fact that we have a CBA that's coming in about 2 years. And once that new CBA passes, most likely
that's going to be included.
Right.
Medical marijuana is
probably. Right. They're probably going to be a lot more lenient on weed at that time. And the reason that they're turning up the heat on weed is really to kind of preemptively create leverage.
I never thought of it like that.
It's leverage.
Yeah.
Because if I penalize you guys for leverage, I can kind of, if you can't control what the CBA or what the Players Association is going to bring to the table for the CBA, right? But if you create enough tension and enough heat around a certain subject, you can kind of predict what they're going to want. So it's like the NFL is really negotiating with themselves.
And none of the owners want, I'm not going to say none, but I'm going to think most of the owners don't want anything to do with marijuana on their football team.
That's bullshit. I mean, if you let Michael Irvin snort it.
You think Jerry Jones wants anything to do with, like, I could see Jerry Jones being one of those backwards ass dudes.
Michael Irvin snorted half of Dallas, okay? And he's still on TV. He still got into the Hall
Sniffles
of Fame.
Sniffles and everything.
Still won Super Bowls. He's still, you know, they don't look at him like some vile villain, you know what I mean? Crack was like the most fucked up thing like, it's to the point where I won't even smoke a glass blunt. Because it looks like a crack pipe. That's how damaging crack was to 80s babies.
Just like looking at it like, what am I
doing? Yeah, I won't even put my fucking mouth on that. I don't like bongs. I don't like pipes. I don't like glass blunts. None of that because of the crack era, right?
Bongs are great.
If you let a guy, bongs are cool, but, you know, they get you high. Yeah, so did dad, but I just don't like it. I'm a traditionalist. But my point is, if you let a guy like Irvin, and I'm not judging Irving, I'm just saying, if you let these guys during that era, Tagliabue era, get away with literal murder. Like, I remember Leonard Little actually got away with actually, I think he had actually killed someone. He was playing for the St. Louis Rams.
Considered Ray Lewis.
Yeah, exactly. So the things that we've overlooked in this league are laughable when we try to say, when try to vilify weed. It doesn't make any sense.
It becomes the hot button issue. I feel like the violence. Domestic violence issue definitely has. They become less. What's the word? They're just trying to save their own skin. Didn't care before.
No, they move with the waves of the time. But yeah. I don't see. I think the Me Too movement is why the domestic violence issue is becoming so, you know, prevalent in the league, right?
Right.
And I get that one because they're kind of pressured by society to get behind that, right?
Well, I mean, I just feel like if drugs are an issue, why isn't violence towards women an issue?
Right.
You know?
No, but I get you there. But my point is, listen, if you're going to take weed and vilify it, right, but at the same time you bat an eye at opioids being used and so on. That is a valid point. Like, there's an opioid epidemic right now in this country, just like there was a crack epidemic. And the way they treat opioids versus weed and crack is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, you will give a player.
Brett Favre got addicted to opiates
from the league.
Yes,
and he didn't file a grievance and say you guys made me a opioid.
He probably could have and won.
Exactly. So that's my point. Like, it's a hypocritical rule by the NFL. So I'll say that in David Irvin's defense. I personally, you know, I don't think I would retire because I want to smoke weed or because of that double standard. But I think his doing so sets a precedent. So, you know, let's see how it unfolds. I can't really judge the guy for wanting to smoke weed because, you know, naturally I still smoke weed. So I can't say, hey, man, you crazy. You know, I don't want to work for the corporate world. I don't want to work for anyone else. And that's because I want to be able to feel free to explore this world however I see fit. So I can't knock anybody else for trying that in whatever, you know, pocket or industry they're in. So, you know, more power to them. I personally wouldn't do it. As a Cowboys fan, I don't want to see him off the team.
Right.
But, you know.
How does that work contract-wise? Like, if he quits.
I think he's a free agent.
He's a free agent?
Yeah, I think he's a free agent.
Okay. Were they in talks to re-sign him or, like, do something with him?
I mean, if he could have played this year, I think he would have definitely gotten re-signed to a prove-it deal, like a two-year, let's see what you can do type deal, nothing major. But
how many games is he suspended for?
He's suspended indefinitely right now.
God, it's so, like, stupid.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, like, I feel
Goodell
like.
Goodell is fucking the league up, man.
Marijuana isn't going to give you any sort of advantage in the game. But you know what does? And some people are probably just
opioids.
No, well, I mean, I wouldn't say that.
You can't feel shit. Like, if you take some morphine and go play football, you can break a leg and not know it. You're like, coach, I think I sprained my fucking ankle. You're like, sir, you broke your hip. Like, oh. Oh, like, oh, my bad. Well, I didn't know.
That was by accident.
I didn't feel it. I didn't know.
Well, I just feel like, all right. Like, something like if a player has ADHD.
Right.
And they take
Adderall. Oh, you can't. That's outlawed. No, that's outlawed.
Are you, even if you're, because I know in baseball, if you have a prescription for it.
Well, maybe if you got a prescription for it. But I know Richard Sherman and Brandon Browner, when they were playing for Seattle, they got busted for Adderall usage because they were using it to get an edge as corners. They were getting, like, that's why Richard Sherman was fucking invincible his first 2 years. He was like, I learned something in Stanford. He said, watch this. He used to start passing out Adderalls in the locker room, and everybody was fucking, they was Legion of Boom and all kinds of shit when they were on Addies. Once they got off, it was like, hey, no, I guess they were still pretty good, but, you know, I think the Adderall definitely helps. Adderall is like the limitless. It's the limitless pill for anybody who wants to focus on some shit. That's what Adderall does. It, like,
it's legal speed.
But a buddy of mine took an Adderall. I didn't give it to him. He took an entire Audi. That's how you say the car. He took an Audi A4 apart, the engine, apart overnight and put it back together on Adderall. So whatever you know how to do, it like, amplifies it.
In college, I took a Vyvanse. And I wrote a 10-page paper in, like, 3 hours.
Exactly.
And I got an A on it.
I bet you did.
It's about Woodrow Wilson and
your professor was like, you got the A from the beginning. Because he's like, how the fuck do you know my Social Security number?
Yeah.
He said, that shit was at the top of the page. It's just social.
Like, I know where your family lives.
Is this your son?
Yeah.
Your fucking essay has shit on it, but fucking pictures of his fucking Facebook page. All his personal information was on that shit. He's like, hey, you got an A.
I got your fingerprints too. Right here. I can cry.
Oh, yeah. you're an organ donor? Yeah. Start talking shit. Start scaring the shit out of the professors.
Damn, that's some brazy shit.
But I hate to see him go, though, man. I hate to see him go, and I hope they don't fuck up. But Randy Gregory's career, because I felt like Randy Gregory was on his way all the way back. But Randy Gregory and David Irvin, when you look at those guys, they do not look like guys who can say, I will never smoke weed again in my life. They don't look like those guys who can say that. So I didn't think it was going to last, but for so long anyway. I really didn't. I was rooting for Randy Gregory to be able to, like, avoid, you know, testing positive again, because the Cowboys really need a premier pass rusher, number one. That's from a fan standpoint, just a selfish standpoint. But number two is, like, he is a talent, like a rare talent. And I don't think we should stop him or Flash Gordon or David Irving. I don't think we should be the catalyst that ends those types of careers, because
And you got to think, too, from another sports perspective. In the NBA, Kenyon Martin said 85% of the league smokes weed. And Matt Barnes himself admitted that he smokes weed.
Facts.
During an interview.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was, like, either after a game or he was on a...
You just ask yourself, and then look at the people who get caught for smoking weed. It's still... The NFL media is just like the national media. The color of the guys who get caught smoking weed are always black guys. But white guys smoke weed, man. Like, so why don't they ever get caught?
On the same... White people do drugs at the same rate.
So why are we the only ones getting in trouble for it, even in the NFL? Like, what... Are you telling me Peyton Manning never smoked weed? Now, he might be a guy that never did. But I know Drew Brees definitely smoked some weed before in his life. Birdman from Miami, he did every fucking drug there is. You know, he's like the white Dennis Rodman.
I thought he was like a meth head when I first...
He's like the white Dennis Rodman. And nobody says shit about that. You can't tell me that these white guys are not smoking weed.
Do you remember
smoking
when
weed?
Birdman, like, got into that this hoax?
No.
It was like some... I don't even know. Some shady shit. It was like some... model or something.
That sounds like a prostitution ring.
I forget the exact details, but I digress. Let's
keep it.
But yeah, so I just feel like, you know, there are cases in the NFL where I feel like the players are wronged, and then there are other cases where I feel like the players are kind of crazy. I don't know if you've been keeping up with Antonio Brown. He just got signed.
I've been keeping up with it for one reason. I'm a Dez Bryant fan like a motherfucker, man. Like, I actually started all of this because I was, like, mad about how the Cowboys did Dez Bryant, right? Mm-hmm. But check it out. Okay. Antonio Brown, I've seen him slap Todd Haley, slap his arms off of him and say, get the fuck off me, to his coach. He throws his team under the bus whenever he feels like it. He threw Mike Tomlin under the bus whenever he felt like it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just does it. He doesn't give a fuck. Whatever was happening in Pittsburgh is a shit show. But at the same time, I don't see the fans or anyone really coming down on Antonio Brown for half of the shit that he says. But most of the visceral comments that I see going towards Dez Bryant are like, you know, he's a selfish guy, he's a piece of shit, and he's this, that, and the third, right? But these guys all, like, receivers act far worse, and you see it with Odell and Antonio Brown, like, and Josh Gordon, whoever, T.O., Chad Ochocinco, those are, like, prima donna receivers that really start a lot of shit. And it seems like if you're not that far extreme, like, if you haven't gone all the way left where you look like a marginal or marginalized type of person where you're out on the fringe like Antonio Brown, or, you know, where it's easy to just kind of dismiss the crazy shit that he's saying sometimes. I feel like if you're in the middle or if you say anything or you try to stay on the truth side of things and you keep it real like Dez Bryant had while he was leaving the Cowboys, I feel like they'll castigate you for that quicker than they will if you have some wild, crazy antics, because those antics give, I guess, the media a lot of room for content creation or whatever. But
yeah, I got actually a clip from that ESPN interview with Antonio Brown that I kind of like.
Throw it in there, man. Let's hear it.
No, I'm just unbothered. You know, nothing really bothers me. It just, you know, from a standpoint of where I'm at, it's just, you know, I'm ready to move forward.
Why couldn't? I mean, like, that's. It feels like that's really simple things, like just knowing who you are.
Yeah, just common courtesy, like, you know what I mean? Because when it boils down to it, like, I already done everything in the NFL. Like, it's nothing really I haven't done. I made the contracts. I made the money. I really made the records. You know, I really led the league in all three categories, receiving yards, receptions, touchdowns. So at the end of the day, for me, you know, it's bigger than just the game that we play of ball. You know, it's about the respect of people and camaraderie. You know, I would like to know the guy, you know, I work for got my best interest. Now, I'd like to know the team got my best interest. But when it comes to business in NFL and football, you know, it's a business. So in business, you know, some things are not personal.
Yeah, so he was talking about how he just feels disrespected by the team.
Right.
And it seems like it was a very tumultuous situation over there in Pittsburgh.
I mean, I get you. I feel like Ben Roethlisberger, I don't think that whole situation is real, what's going on over there. Like, a lot of the guys that got – like, I feel a gripe about, you know, and I don't want to keep making this a racial thing, but Ben Roethlisberger has been in a lot of trouble for – like, you know, underage drinking and statutory rape charges and shit like that. Like, he has an R. Kelly past himself.
My mom's telling me no.
But my balls are telling me yeah. But at the end of the day, man, like, I feel like him saying, hey, he don't know my dad name and he don't know this or that. I understand what it's like to go into the corporate world, right, and work around a bunch of people who kind of play the game.
Yeah.
You know, they talk to you like they care, but they don't really give a shit. And you think these guys are your friends and they're not. But, hey, this is the nature of what it is in the NFL. They tell you it's a business and they kind of explain that to you. So I don't buy the, hey, I'm mad because these guys don't care about what my kids' names are and they don't know my dad and shit like that. I don't give a fuck about that, man. And I don't. Now, maybe Antonio Brown does, but if he really does care about that much.
He was also just expressing how they had, you know, the coaches are there calling a group of men like kids.
Boys.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah, I mean, I feel you there. Yeah, well, of course. I want to be respected as a man, yeah.
Yeah,
but
like, we are making you guys your money. Like, he's trying to basically just, like, the players are the most important part about these teams. and teams should start. That's what I got from it, at least.
The teams can never back that idea, and no one else could either, because the players, they average 3 to 5 years in this league. They do make the game great, but no player is bigger than the game, and not because the owners say so.
I think you
but because more, their bodies won't allow them to be bigger than the game. You only can play for so long, so he'll never win that bet. That's an argument that you're just not going to win. So when you're I'm all about winning, bro. I ain't about keeping it real, you know, none of that. Like, I ain't one of those dudes that, like, I'm going to keep it real and not win. No, I'm going to win, and then once I win, I'm going to fuck you over if I want to. But I'm not going to – yeah, I'm not – hey, man, fuck that. I'm going to lose on principle. I ain't one of those dudes. Like, give me my money, right, and then I'll go create some shit that will circumvent whatever it is that you're doing, but I'm not going to let you beat me. And I feel like – when you go ahead and acquiesce to the stereotype that they're trying to paint us as anyway, which is selfish, dumb players who really only care about themselves, their prima donna, wide receiver type image, when you fall into that, and I don't think people are just naturally falling into that, like, you know, where it's, you know, there's no way, you know, I don't think there's any goading to that. You see what I'm saying? But once you're in that lane, you kind of put yourself in a position like T.O. where they can kind of ostracize you and castigate you in a certain way and box you in. And he's put himself in a lane where, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that John Gruden, I think, is a type of guy who will talk to you real. I think John Gruden is actually the best coach for him right now. And he's one of the best players for John Gruden because John Gruden is not a fake guy. Like, he's
no nonsense.
Yeah, a lot of the players who play for him that are new age players, these young guys,
you
millennials.
You see Spider YX.
Spider YX YZ.
Yeah.
What'd you see there? I saw a guy crashing down on the flats, John. Well, why didn't you throw hot to the ZY straight white? I'm like, what? Shut the fuck up.
Google floor Gubagama.
Yeah, Gubagama. Guggenheimer.
Yeah. I just feel like, I don't know, my thinking about John Gruden is that he's another Chip Kelly in the sense that he's just like a, he's a locker room kind of culture guy,
right.
You know? It's a double-edged sword when you have that kind of coach, you know? I feel like they're very hard on their players, but they get a lot more out of their players usually. It didn't seem like it worked much last year, but... you know, let's see if they can right the ship a little bit.
Yeah, but I think last year he was really trying to build a culture. And, and you know, you can discredit it from the outside looking in. You get rid of a Khalil Mack and the Bears go to the playoffs. You get rid of Amari Cooper and the Cowboys go to the playoffs. He made both teams instant playoff contenders. So thank you, John Gruden, for that.
Yeah.
thank you, buddy. Thank you. Next time you want to give away some diamonds, I'm your guy. But at the end of the day, I do understand what it's like trying to build a culture. So when you're really trying to instill certain values or you're looking for people that already have them, you got to have a no-nonsense approach to that, and you can't compromise because once you do, you know, it's your ass on the line. And if you do that, if you compromise, you know, for a player or acquiesce for this guy, then everyone else behind him, those players that are looking for contracts next year, those players that are looking for their own space in your locker room or in your ideology, if they don't fit and you let them occupy enough of your time and space and they're not as pivotal as a Tom Brady, when you know, you can't allow that. You have to create a culture that you've kind of grandfathered in yourself. And the difference between a Tom Brady and a Belichick versus a Khalil Mack and a Gruden is Tom Brady was kind of brought up by Belichick and taught and tutored. He came in that regime. Belichick did the same thing. All coaches do it. They just don't do it as bluntly and as fast as John Gruden did. John Gruden came in and just cleaned house. Whereas most coaches, they'll tolerate a guy for a year because they say, I want to win now because I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose my job. That's why the importance of John Gruden's contract is pivotal, because he has a 10-year contract. So him having that time and that leeway to really right the ship is what we're seeing. This is what a coach does when he doesn't have to worry about winning the first year. And he says, hey, listen, I'm going to rebuild this shit, and you're not going to like the way it looks for the first couple years, and that's fine. You know what I mean? He needs that time to be able to do that. Most coaches don't get that time, so they're left with trying to work with a bunch of different personalities that don't fit their scheme and our culture, and they have to try to win with that now, you know, and that's why you see guys, you know, like the coach from Arizona got 1 year and he was out because he had to live with what he had. He didn't He didn't get to do anything. He's just coaching whatever they gave him. It's like saying, hey, you got to cook me a gourmet meal, but you get to buy none of the groceries. Like, then what the fuck am I here for? You know what I mean? Right, hey, cook for me, man. But you get none of the groceries. You don't get to go grocery shopping. Yeah. Fuck that. That shit is trash.
I feel like, I like Amari Cooper. I don't know, understand why he was so up and down at Oakland.
I do. It's called David Carr.
Yeah, you're right. Derek Carr.
Well, they're the same thing.
His brother is the same player. Thing. Yeah. His brother's David, right?
That shit, one of those motherfuckers.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. They're both, I honestly think he's farce. Flash in the pan.
Oh, man. I won't say that about him. What I will say is he's not, what people are trying to make him out to be.
He had a really good year. What was it? Was his rookie year or was it his sophomore year that he had that fantastic year?
I think it was his sophomore year because it was the year it was Dak Prescott's sophomore year too.
Okay.
So they came in the same year, I think.
Yeah, he had a phenomenal year that year, and
what's crazy is
I think it's like whenever he got injured, right? That's what kicked him out of the playoffs.
I'm lighting this one up for David Irving and Randy Gregory. I'm actually just quit smoking, but I'm gonna light this one up for. I'm gonna blow this one for David Irving.
Our fallen brethren.
Mm-hmm. 21 gun salute.
Yeah. 21.
Oh yeah, 21 Savage too. Welcome back to the country if you make it back, bro. Icy, he got icy hot down there.
He did get icy. Did get a little icy. Speaking of getting a little icy, you watched the Finding Neverland special, right, recently?
Oh, man, how we go from football to Finding Neverland.
Oh, dude.
That's fucked up journalism, man. I don't have a problem with you exposing the truth. I'm honest. If Michael Jackson raped those little boys, then, hey, listen, he should get whatever negative publicity is coming to him. Now, I'll say that. That's if he did it.
Right.
But I can't say that you did something based off of one side of a story when you're dead. And the people telling the story have told, like, four different versions of the story. So initially in court, they said nothing happened. Then they tried to sue the estate after he died, right? And they had lost, and they had a different story in their deposition. And now they have a documentary saying something altogether different. And I've heard from doctors, from Michael Jackson's doctor, said that he was medically castrated or chemically castrated by his parents as a kid. And that's fucked up within itself. But if he was castrated, then how does Wade's story, the guy with the dark hair, how does his story even make sense saying that Michael Jackson forcibly put his penis in his anus? Like, come on, man. Like, I don't see Michael Jackson holding the kid down trying to fuck him. I would see him kind of.
I could see him being inappropriate with
kids. I can see that. Now, I can. If you said he did some weird shit that just most humans don't want to do.
Yeah, right.
Okay, maybe. maybe he's into that. But if you're going to tell me he's going to hold a kid down and fuck him, I don't see Michael Jackson having that type of style. I don't think that's him. Medically speaking, unless his doctor was lying, which I don't think he was, medically speaking, how could he anyway?
Castrations are balls. You can still get a boner.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
But, so he just doesn't have any testosterone.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not a doctor, but what do you nut when you... When you're castrated, do you shoot anything out? Or you...
Baby powder? No.
That's what LeBron's doing before games. And shit. Yeah. Like, I'm going to baby powder everybody. Everybody gets baby powder.
Probably.
That's like crazy.
Some sort of fluid, maybe. I don't know. I never thought about it.
I try to think about it. It's hard. It's hard. It's unfathomable.
You just like Michael lay Jackson. Awake at night.
Yeah, I lay awake at night sometimes. I say, can Michael Jackson have sex? I just don't see how he could. You ever meet people where you be like, I just couldn't see this dude grabbing a chick and just really just like fucking the shit out of nobody. It's a lot of people out here like that. Michael Jackson's one of them. I just don't see Michael Jackson aggressively doing anything other than dancing. And I'm not saying that none of their story could be true, because I also don't see grown men hanging with kids. But most grown men can't sing like a kid, can't dance like that either. So
I think he never had a childhood.
That's the story.
and that he, you know, was just trying to live his childhood, kind of sit. Like, he wanted that innocence of hanging out with children.
And trust me, bro, I understand that. And that's what I think as well. But that's why I want to hear all sides of the story. And if all sides of the story can't be heard, weird. I don't want to hear the story if you wait till a guy. Like, they've been around for 30 years, like 20 years, some odd years, like since the 90s. I don't want to hear the story now that he's dead. You could have said this in 2005, 2003, 2000, you know what I mean? Why didn't you say it while he was alive? Why wouldn't you do that?
I personally believe that media probably takes advantage of, rolling PC trends.
Well,
in a sense, because that's what,
it's not that,
it's,
though. See?
It's so divisive in
no,
a sense.
No, man. No. That's where the bullshit kicks in, right? Because we assume, and the media says this so much that it became truth. They say that they only want to promote stories that people want to see. So that's why they jump on the R. Kelly story. That's why they jumped on the Michael Jackson story, Bill Cosby. Because
didn't someone come forward with like a videotape that they found?
Supposedly. Yeah, they say they found one.
It happened again. Like, some guy was just cleaning out his stuff.
And he
found an R. Kelly video thinking it was like a
that
from
is
a concert.
Bullshit, bro. What happened is whoever had leverage on him had that tape sitting somewhere. And they said, if you fuck up and something, he did something. Because that tape wasn't, nobody just, who the fuck watches VCR or VHS tapes? Who watches that shit?
That was probably an old one. He was
Yeah, but who saves them and just says, today? Now that are in the midst of R. Kelly, I don't believe in coincidences, bro. So in the midst of R. Kelly's biggest scandal, just so happened to find this. Really?
Well, it was alleged that he was like keeping sex slaves.
Listen, it's not a sex slave if you want to be there. For me, the way I look at it is this. I shouldn't know, and R. Kelly's dumb for recording whatever anyway. I shouldn't know what you're doing in your bedroom, anybody. I shouldn't know. That goes without saying. Now,
especially shouldn't be doing with a 14-year-old girl.
That's true, too. But once we say that, and that's my point, if we're going to go back and go after R. Kelly, I'm fine with you saying, hey, we want to get you for fucking a 14-year-old. I got a 15-year-old daughter, and if R. Kelly fucked my 15-year-old, I don't give a fuck how much money he has. He'd be a dead man. And if he paid me any money, it'd go towards killing him, and I'm not lying.
Why don't we hear R. Kelly's side of the story real quick?
Let's listen to it. Go ahead.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that you have never held anybody against their will.
I don't need to. That, why would I?
Well, I'm
how stupid would it never be held for anybody? R. Kelly, with all I've been through in my way, way past, to hold somebody, let alone 4, 5, 6, 50, you said. How stupid would I be to do that?
I didn't say you
That's
were holding.
That's stupid, guys.
I didn't.
Is this camera on me?
Yes, it's on.
That's stupid. Use your common sense. Don't forget the blogs. Forget how you feel about me. Hate me if you want to. Love me if you want. But just use your common sense. How stupid would it be for me to, with my crazy past and what I've been through, right now I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle.
Robert,
stop it. Y'all quit playing. Quit playing.
Robert.
I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my career.
Robert.
30 years of my career. Y'all trying to kill me. You killing me, man. This is not about music. I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it.
Wow,
that was intense, man.
Yeah, that was.
But listen, what I'll say is, I believe half of his story. Like, I believe that now, today, R. Kelly's doing nothing wrong. I don't think R. Kelly's doing anything wrong by having.
Yeah.
More power to you. If you can get two girls to live together and be cool with that shit, and fuck you, and both know it. I take my hat off to you, brother. I'm for real.
How old were they, though?
21 and 23.
Oh.
That's how old they are now. I mean, they willfully live in that house with him. You know, he had more.
And the parents are saying that it's their
slave. Well, the parents took the kids to him for a record deal years ago when they were 17. Okay, so this is long after R. Kelly had already, you know, been seen peeing on somebody. You take now, would you take your dog to the SPCA or to the dog killer or dog catcher? You know what I'm saying? Would you take your dog there? No, because you know what they do. They have a history of killing dogs, right? So why would you take your daughter to R. Kelly? Why would you take your daughter to R. Kelly as a man? And if fathers were present, so I can't even say it was single parent households and their moms were gullible and he manipulated the mom into doing. These are two parent households, all of them, and they took their kids and sold them to R. Kelly, which is what they did. They sold them on net 30, net 40 terms, and they're mad because they didn't get the fucking payment when they sent their invoice. That's the problem here. It's not, hey, R. Kelly stole our kids, like he was hanging out at McDonald's and said, hey, bitch, get in the van, and they got in the van, and now they're hypnotized or some shit. You took your kids to R. Kelly. So anything you say, I don't give a fuck. I mean, R. Kelly's wrong. Yes, but I don't give a fuck. Hugh Hefner was wrong too, you know, and so was you know. So if we're going after people after the div, Michael Jackson's fair game. So is Hugh Hef. Let's go get him. I'm serious. If Michael Jackson's fair game, let's get Hugh Hefner. Elvis Presley.
There were actually when he died, there actually was like lots of articles that came out.
Listen, I don't see it being a media shitstorm like it is with Michael Jackson.
No,
totally. Let's talk about Hugh Hef. Let's talk about Michael. Let's talk about Woody Allen and his adopted daughter that he married and has kids with today, and he's still revered as a good director. Let's talk about Roman Polanski, who made The Pianist, which I like. That was a great movie.
Bro, he fled the country.
He won an Oscar, though, that year. They still honored him for the fucking Oscar. He shouldn't even been nominated after that shit. Right?
Wow.
They gave the motherfucker an Oscar. They won't even let Kevin Hart host the Oscars after saying some transphobic shit, right? But they let Roman Polanski's pedophile ass win an Oscar the same year he fled the country for doing that shit. And he still has never been picked up by the law, and he's probably still fucking making movies that can be sold in the United States today. So I think we give a fuck about this stuff as a country, if we really give a fuck, then let's give a fuck all the way. If we don't give a fuck, let's not just give a fuck when it's a black guy doing it. You know what I mean? Like if Bill Cosby, you know, can go back 30 years and say, hey, Bill Cosby drugged women and fucked them, right? That's what they're saying he did, right? Okay, if he's in jail for that and they saying, hey, he should do his time. Okay, then that kid, what's the kid's name from Stanford who got that girl, who drugged that girl and fucked her in the alley or whatever? And then the judge says, we're going to cut his sentence because jail will be too hard for him. What? How can you do that in the same breath, in the same country that you send an 80-year-old man to general population prison, like what are you, maximum security prison, like what are you talking about? Like those things to me aren't in the same realm, and but they are, you know what I mean? And we're not talking about that shit. Elvis Presley and Priscilla, what's her name, the girl he married, she was 14 when she got with him. You see what I'm saying? Let's talk about this shit then, if this is what we're doing. If we're not doing it, don't just make it us. It can't just be us. It got to be everybody. Let's be bipartisan with that shit. Now, if we're going to do that, I'm all for attacking R. Kelly, Woody Allen, all of them. Get them if we're going to get them. If we're not, then let's just stop it right here, man. And the founder of the Me Too movement is actually under allegations for Me Too and a guy. You know what I mean? And just so you guys don't think that I'm like just bashing movements here, I'm not. Personally, myself, just to share something about myself, I lost my virginity to a 24-year-old, and then after that, my second encounter sexually was with a 28-year-old, and I was 16. So, technically, you know, a lot of you women are out here R. Kellying too, because that was two of you, you know, and I'm not going to say your names, but you know who you fucking are, and you liked it. So did I.
Oh, my God. I mean, I feel like all these movements are kind of like a double-edged sword. Like, a lot of them, I feel like women should feel empowered to come out and be like, say that they were attacked and that they weren't okay with it. I think that's a good thing. But I also think when someone's lying about it is not a good thing.
Oh, like Jesse Smollett, Schmuddett.
Wait, what do you mean, Jesse Smollett?
He lied about being attacked. But I'm talking.
No, I meant like, you know, sexually attacked or, you know. Or just abused.
I mean,
people
get in trouble for lying about that. But what I'm saying is, like, it's no way to win a case like that. It's no way. Like, how can you win a case with this media today? Like, if I get arrested Everyone knows who's accusing me. They can go interview who's accusing me before the case, get details about it before the case. Then the jury is automatically tainted because it's everywhere, in the palm of your hand, on your phone. It's on Instagram. It's on, you know, all the social media outlets and on the mainstream media news. You can't miss the story and the details, the damaging details. You come out with a documentary and then charge me. And then, like, R. Kelly is technically, legally, he's right. You can't go double jeopardy me like that. That's what he said. And he was right about that. You can't go watch a documentary, dislike the way a case went that you didn't have details to because you didn't choose to read the docket that was public information before today. And then now, because the public has said, hey, we don't like this shit, we're going to find something to try me for today. Like, come on, man. You can't just investigate me and charge me based on a documentary. I do get that. And I've already beat my case.
But your now, social score can suck.
His social score can suck. So yeah. If you're going to do that, you got to go get Donald Trump for grabbing pussies. Let's go find the videotape of him grabbing pageant pussies, and let's take him to jail for that then, right? So,
I mean,
let's do it.
Let's please.
All right, so if we're not doing that, let's shut the fuck up, because that's hypocrite. Anybody who has an outrage and who acts outraged, like the girl who was on the Cosby's and she ran up nude, painted with all these fucking signs and shit like that. I'm like, well, why aren't you running at Hugh Hefner's house? Like, why weren't you at his house?
Well, she, I don't know whether she, was she alleging that he was inappropriate to her?
Listen, Bill Cosby, do I think Bill Cosby drugged women and fucked them in their sleep? No, I don't think he did.
I mean, according to Hannibal Buress, he did.
I think, according to the Google, he did. I don't think Bill Cosby was, like, fucking incapacitated women. I think that was the narrative that was created so that it made sense. But I don't think he was fucking incapacitated women. Now, raise your hand. You can go to any bar, right, today. I used to manage a bar and strip club. I never seen, I don't think, in a bar, any nightclub or a night situation, if Bill Cosby giving a girl Spanish fly willingly, or cocaine or weed or liquor willingly, and she willingly takes it and fucks Bill Cosby, right? If he's in trouble for that, or Quaaludes even. Like, people used to get high off Quaaludes. It was like the drug of that day. So if he's in trouble for that, how many men should be in trouble for how many girls have asked you, like, yo, Matt, can you come over and can you bring some weed with you? That happens all the time.
They don't ask, I just bring.
You see? Yeah. Or how many girls have you seen at the bar? And she's like, hey, you know, she's tipsy, you tipsy, and you're like, hey, you want to get out of here? And she's like, yeah. How many times has that happened? That happens all the time.
Yeah.
People do that every fucking day.
Verbal consent.
Every day that happens. So now to say, to me, it's like to wait 30 years if that happened. And I know that the climate for women was different at some point, right? But I don't believe in the myth, and it is a myth, that women are somehow subjugated in this country. Now, in the world, yes. In this country, no. Why?
I feel like they're subjugated in this country, but not to an extent. Well,
no.
I mean, you got to think.
I don't agree.
You don't agree?
Listen, the courts, when you got the law behind you, you're a motherfucker already. You can literally, I don't see it happening in a reverse that often, but I do see it happen this way. You can literally marry a waitress, right, and be a millionaire already. She didn't help you get no millions. And then you can cheat on this waitress, and she can take half of your shit. In this country, she can leave with your kids and kidnap the motherfuckers, right, and then charge you for them. When they leave, they want money to maintain the lifestyle that they had while they're trying to find a new guy. That is fucking crazy already, right? Now, on top of that, I don't know many guys that are heterosexual males who do most of anything, whether it's going to work, washing their ass, driving and picking the car that they drive, or even deciding what to wear today without thinking about women when they're doing it. Most of the murders you see, most of the business you see, most of the things you see men do are predicated towards impressing or keeping or getting a woman. They already run the world. They do. And I'm not bullshitting. Now, because of this movement, it makes it seem like they've been victimized throughout history, you know. And I do know that that's true, because men are physically stronger than women. So I agree with the idea that they should feel comfortable coming out and exposing anybody who's ever done them wrong. I get that. I get that. But that should be anybody, male or female. This isn't an exclusive thing where it's like only women get molested or raped. Like, men get it. We just don't think of it the same way. But it happens. I just told you how I lost my virginity. And I thought nothing of it. But, you know, but if it was my daughter and a 28-year-old man, it would have been a motherfucking problem. See what I'm saying? Right. So those things are just that's just naturally how the society is, you know. And when men say they don't see women doing certain things like boxing or doing certain sports, I have a trainer who doesn't want to train women. And it sounds chauvinistic. He's like, I don't train women, right? Sort of like the guy, sort of like Clint Eastwood off of Million Dollar Baby. That's cool, right? It sounds crazy, but I understand his approach to it. He reveres women so much, he doesn't want to see women bloodied and beat up. It bothers him. Like, really, he doesn't like it. And it's not like, oh, I don't think women are made for this sport. Like, it's not like a chauvinistic or misogynistic thing when he says it. He actually puts women on a pedestal where he's like, I don't want to see women hurt themselves that way. But I do feel like women should have the right to compete and do whatever they want to do. I'm with that part of the movement. I'm just not with the weaponized part of it. And I'm not with it with anyone. I'm not with it with any group that weaponizes their victimization. To me, is now just as bad as the people who victimized them initially. See what I'm saying?
You
can't weaponize it. You can't just decide, hey, I don't like you, so I'm going to say something now because of the climate, the social climate that we're in, and the way social media spreads stories before verifying them. I'm going to fucking ruin you, and you can. So R. Kelly is not wrong about that part of his story. You can't go and now retroactively attack him because of something you saw today. And if the girls that he's with today, you don't like that situation, they do. So if you truly are for women's rights and women's freedom, right, if the girls who he's with want to be with him, how are you now justifying controlling that and saying that they are brainwashed, or they're in a cult, or they're retarded? You're disrespecting them by saying that. You're disrespecting the whole movement by saying that because you don't agree with the choice that these women made, that they're somehow, you know, under the influence of some man, right? He just Dracula dicked them, and they just don't know what to say out their mouth. You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe that.
I want you to suck my cock.
No, he wants you to, because I want to piss on you. That's what he said. He said shit about sucking.
I want to pee on you.
Maybe it's something about peeing on a chick that makes him crazy if he's brainwashing. Because I don't know any chick that
sniffs the fumes.
I don't know nobody that'll let me pee on him. I don't think. What do you say in that conversation?
There's
in the
this
first
kid
place?
That went to my high school, and I heard from his ex-girlfriend, who I'm assuming got pissed on.
Mm.
He liked pissing on girls. I guess it must be like a. I don't know. I don't know because I'm not into that shit.
Ooh, I mean, I don't get it either. I want to ask, like, what makes you want to pee? Because I don't even want to touch you after I pee on you. I don't want to touch my pee. So why would you want to
touch my pee?
Now we got to stop everything we was doing and wait for you to take a shower and shit. Like, I don't want to pee on nobody.
I'm going
to
piss on you.
Yeah, that was crazy. I don't get that, bro. But outside of that, I say, listen, if you got something new to try him on, try him. Cool. I'm cool with that. But let's see this thing equal itself out and be real about it. Like, I don't like how CBS and Gail and these guys are like really making it like, oh my God, it's gut-wrenching what he's done, right? And then not doing it where it's obvious in other places. That's all. If you really feel that outraged about it, let's see these stories about Hugh Hefner. Let's see these stories about Elvis Presley. Let's see these stories about Woody Allen, Roman Polanski, and so on. There's countless others. The dad off Seventh Heaven, he admitted he fucks kids. He said it out loud. R. Kelly's lying about it. This dude said he do it, and he's walking around here somewhere.
Is he not in jail?
He's not in jail. I don't know. He might be in jail.
I think he's in jail. I think that's why.
He went to jail finally?
Probably. Let me verify.
Let's verify this shit.
And, you know, because if he's walking around, that's kind of nuts.
Source said. Listen, I see a CNN story that says, source says, actor's accuser waited too long. They waited. The statute of limitations is the only reason he's not in jail.
Oh, shoot. Well,
Colin, 67, 7th Heaven as a patriarch of the Central Family in court papers. And his estranged wife claims Collins told her he molested 3 girls. He told her. Collins' legal response says the claims are attempted extortion and a divorce, right? Okay. Police in New York are aware of child molestation allegations by former relative against actor Stephen Collins, but due to the statute of limitations, he cannot face charges in that case. A senior law enforcement official told CNN on Tuesday evening. Okay. So how the fuck is there a statute of limitations on this guy, but there's not on R. Kelly? See what I'm saying? So I'm not, I don't have a problem with you going after R. Kelly, but if fucked up is fucked up.
I agree. And on that note, it's time for a send-off, D.
Man, that was a good one, man. I want to talk to you guys again in a couple days, man. I appreciate you guys watching and listening to the Okoye Media Podcast. Make sure you check us out on Into Boxing as well for boxing content. You'll see a lot of our episodes there. Or you can tune in on Okoye Media on YouTube, and you'll find the video and audio for these podcasts there as well. But make sure you guys are downloading and watching, because we're trying to grow a brand here. And as you can see, we're on to something. So let's do it.
All right, guys, tune in next week for the next show.